And living worry-free. I believe the Lord has instructed us that we can live worry-free lives. Scriptures, we have scripture to back that up. And, you know, even though there's troubles, you can have worry-free life. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus said in the New Living, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. That's what the New Living translation says. So every day, what are some of the everyday fears and worries that people, that the Lord referred to, that he was talking about that people face every day? Well, it had to do with the basic everyday needs that people have in life. And, you know, Psalm 23 says, Jesus said, or at least the Bible says about Jesus, and he is our shepherd. You know, he called himself the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. And Peter, who was very close to him, called him the chief shepherd. And of course, there's not only one shepherd, there's different shepherds. We need shepherds, thank God for that. And there are people who preside over, help people of God. And Psalm 23 says, you know, basically three things. Number one, that God will protect you. Number two, that God will lead you. And God would feed you. And that means he supplies all your needs, and he'll go to bat for you. He'll fight for you. The Bible says that God will go and fight for you. He'll fight the battle for you. The battle's not yours. You'll see that reference in the Bible. And a lot of times people let that particular knowledge get away from them when they're having particularly a hard time in life. They think they're fighting alone. You're never alone. You're always with the help of God. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's a great a comforter, he's our strengthener, he's our guide, and he's our prayer partner. He's the one that will intercede and supplicate on, you know, through you and with you, and pray the will of God for whatever you need. And so today, you know, so it says in here that Jesus said, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I mean, there's everyday life and there's extra things, not just extra things, you know. And when we study in school, you know, psychology tells us that everybody has basic needs, you know. One of them is just to have a place of residence, to have a safe home and a clean home and clean environment, and just to be safe. And God wants to provide that for everybody. Just basic needs, you know. But there's other things in life that would disturb someone, you know. I mean, the wars all over the world could disturb you. Things that, you think about all the things that is not in your control, but don't have to worry about them, like an asteroid hitting the world, you know. And you can be afraid to walk out, and there's people who are afraid to walk out of their house because something might happen. It's a funny thing, you know, if something's going to happen outside like that, it's going to happen, you know, in your house too. So if it's going to hit the world, it'll hit your house too. But anyway, so We're living in this life with our needs, and we are. It seems to be this time now in this world we're living in that we're living in a very highly toxic environment, and it has to do with, you know, the different things that people fear in life and what fear and worry. So everywhere you look, you can see the effects of fear on people, on their faces, and on their whole human living experience. And so we see that everywhere. And you see all the pandemic, how it has affected every one of us. And I was just kind of mentioning to my wife about some things that we've all, some people blame the pandemic because it gained an extra few pounds. I don't want to put any hands laid or have anybody raise their hand, but I think we have put on a few extra pounds. I see Mr. Ed walking around. I think he might have had a few. And so we all, are in a toxic environment, it seems, because Jesus, the Bible talks about, Jesus is our shepherd in Psalm 23. But it says there, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so he's referring to this world. We are living in the valley of the shadow of death. And, you know, Timothy tells us that we're living in the last days. And if you look at the Amplified, it says that it's hard to deal with stressful times, hard to deal with the days that we're living in. And so we can see the effects on people, and people are stressed out. And I think, you know, we need to give everyone a break at times because, you know, we're all sort of on the edge to some degree because everybody wants to be treated right. I know around here we had an incident where we could have you know, had some things with the different things that happening around our city. You know, you could get into any kind of fight. How many of you can get into a fight tonight if you really wanted to? It's not hard to get into some kind of argument. And so we live in a stress-driven world, and really of uncertainty, nothing is guaranteed. And so with little no freedom or little freedom or no freedom at all, we're being adversely affected from the tensions that are in the world. You don't have to go very far or venture out of your house to experience tension. And they say, you know, psychology and those who study people's minds and hearts tell us that if you watch a certain kind of television shows or different news, and watching that news actually has some stress, has some effect on your mentality. How much you watch this stuff that you're going to bed with, and if you're someone who watches the news the last thing at night, you know, that could affect you. People say, "Well, it doesn't affect me." Well, we'll see. You know, over a long period of time. Anyway, television, you know, has the television networks, broadcasting networks have constant bad news coming to you. They never report, you know, completely all good news all the time. There's always something bad going on. You know, always bad news, you know. That's what CNN stands for, constant negative news. CNN, constant negative news. So that's what it's all about, you know. So it's always there. So we have these news coming at us. You know, it's kind of funny. What if you turn on your television one day and everything was completely right? I guess that wouldn't be right either, because it'd be, you know, they could do it by faith, I guess. But so from the four corners of the world, you're always having this barrage of information that's negative coming to you. And, of course, you can have people around you as well. So we're having this negativity being spewed towards us. So the living in under this has some psychological effects and physiological effects on our body. And it's affecting us. And so fear and worry is everywhere. You know, the word fear itself, you look at fear, the word fear in a very, just a very, you know, everyday language, fear is like always a sense of something bad is going to happen. That's what fear is all about, you know. I could give you some psychological terminology and that, but this is what it actually is. Fear is like, you know, something bad is about to happen. Or expecting something bad is going to happen anytime. So that's what, there's an anticipation of disaster. You know, if you're having a good time and, you know, there's a whisper coming that tells you, you know, hey, you've been having, everything's been going good, but listen, there's something bad's going to happen next. But I want to just warn you and tell you something that's very important for you to understand, to realize this, that every one of you are in a spiritual warfare. You actually are in a spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us that we're fighting the fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. And that word gives us, the word fight gives us this word picture in our mind that we're actually are in a combat. And that's what the actual Greek language shows us, that we're actually in a combat. We're in a wrestling match. We're struggling. That's what it talks about, struggling with something. So, you know, what is that? Well, the Bible tells us you're fighting against the devil. And I think a lot of people don't realize this, that this negative thing that's coming to your mind, that the devil is constantly giving you something negative, feeding you. And without any real awareness, a lot of folks are not really understanding this effect. It's really come from the devil. You think, oh, I've just been thinking this bad stuff, or I feel bad about this. But it is a real battle that's going on for your soul, trying to destroy your soul, trying to bring you down, trying to think negative about different things. And this is something that will never stop. And so we have to learn how to deal with the everyday struggles, you know, try to think positive. And there's so much of it that's going on, particularly in this day and age. And so I like Brother Hagin says about renewing the mind and learning to combat these things. This is something that is an ongoing situation. This is something that you don't learn how to be good at it unless you really train yourself to do it. This is not something automatically, just because you came to church and hear a few messages or heard several messages on how to not to worry, and you heard those. Those are wonderful. Wow, great, you know. But that doesn't just, you don't just get better at it because you heard some messages. This takes some real attentive, commitment to actually train your mind and recognize and be aware of what's actually happening. And so we have to learn how to do that. And particularly when you're going through struggles in life, and you might be okay tonight, but tomorrow could be another story, or next week or next month. Everyone has something that they're concerned about. And I tell you, when it's a life and death matter, it becomes even more profoundly real, and becomes more of a awareness. Maybe you have more stress to recognize that you're going through something. So we all have these things that we're worrying. So we want to live in a worry-free life, and the Bible tells us that we can. And so we'll look at the scripture. So fear is that impending sense that there's something bad's going to happen at some point, a danger, an alarm or anxiety that people have. You know, people talk about this and they say this a lot. And I hear this a lot of times in my kind of work, what I've done. I worked in college for 18 years teaching students, and in the field, and of course, just in the field of human services and being a pastor for a number of years here, that people always say this. They say, you know, my anxieties are bad. You know, they're like, they're proud of it. I have some anxieties and I'm really having a hard time with it, you know, or any other thing they say, you know, whatever it is, my sore back is really hurting me. I'm afraid it's going to get worse. I don't know what it is. I've got this feeling that, I don't know what it is. It could be a very bad situation happening. So I'm going to just sit here and worry about it for a little bit, because I got to do that. It's important for me to worry. And so we talked about world champion warriors. How many do we have here this morning, this evening? The world champion warrior, you at least one month of it. And we're going to, maybe we should put the hall of shame here. World champion warrior. No, we shouldn't. Anyway, so it means being afraid of something or someone. And somebody said this one time, you know, I'm afraid of being afraid. I'm afraid I might be afraid next time or whatever. And so these are, the Greek word for fear is phobias, which means, the actual word means dread or terror, you know. And so this is some kind of affection that we, emotion that we have that people experience in the world. So the Oxford Dictionary talks about, when it talks about worry, it says that when a person is worried, or when a person gets into worry, this person allows his or her mind to dwell on troubles. That's what Oxford says. We need to listen to Oxford once in a while, because I think he's onto something. So when you allow yourself, the dictionary says worry is when you allow yourself to dwell on something, on troubles. And the Bible teaches us that anxieties, you know, we should tell people this, that anxiety is actually a sin. You know, as well as, of course, you've trained yourself to be in that kind of a state. So, so what a person focuses on in his thought life can result in fear and worry. So the scripture encourages us to be diligent in keeping a healthy mind, to have a peaceful mind, and our thoughts clearly focus on God's promises, and what God says about our lives. And when we focus on how much God loves us and how he wants to help us, really helps to drain that out of you and recognize that God wants to help you. So Paul says something, or let's go to Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace. The Bible says, whose mind is stayed on you? The Bible says that if you, God will keep you perfectly in a stable sense of serenity when we trust. Another word for trust is have faith in or rely on God. Because really, when we're facing situations like, we can't handle everything on our own. We shouldn't be carrying a lot of burdens and anxiety and worry, because we're not built to to do that, and we're not God. God's the one. God, he wants us to carry, us to throw his, you know, cast that care upon him. And so Paul says in his letter to the church at Corinth, he says, believers are to capture rebellious thoughts, and we need to learn to have our thinking in line with Christ's thoughts, what the Lord is saying. So capturing our thoughts. So we are in a faith fight. Ephesians tells us that we our war, Corinthians and Ephesians talks about that we're in a battle. And a lot of people will read that very intellectually, and they'll just not really look at it very, very closely enough. Because when they get into a real place, that they don't realize this actually is a real battle that's going on for your mind, and really want to get you off track and really pound you down, and so that you could get weaker and weaker over the years. And so the Lord wants us to keep us in peace. He did tell us, you know, John 16, that he wants to give us this peace, this gift of peace. This is a sense of just a state of where we can just rest in God. And we don't have anything agitating, bothering us on the inside of us. You can sit perfectly in a service like this and not have anything bother you. Sit down here and just relax and enjoy your time along with the Word. And you don't have to think about running outside to smoke a cigarette. That's not peace. That's not having peace. Just, oh, I got to go and I got to go and take this. I got to go drink this. I got to have this. I got to constantly get on my phone. I'm worried about what my stocks are. Or if the Montreal Canadiens are losing the game. Like, I gotta get on, So we gotta have, it's good to be at peace. Just enjoy the ride, enjoy life with people, just live with people, sit with people, enjoy their company, look at them. We've lost the art of looking in somebody's eyes and just being at the present moment with someone, enjoying life. And so we're always somewhere else, even when we're present with somebody else. We're thinking about a problem while they're talking to us. And so there's a constant barrage of happening. And you can be sitting with somebody and going through a spiritual battle and going through a crisis while you're sitting there looking at somebody. And you've been doing that for a long time. And you got pretty good with it, with just smiling and just pretending that, you know, you don't have that problem. There is something to be said about that. Well, the Bible tells us that we should cast down thoughts that are not in line with the Word of God. We are to bring those thoughts on and speak against these things and take them captive. Learn how to handle these things. And when they come to you, you need to tell yourself, talk to yourself out loud and say, I don't believe that. Tell yourself, I don't believe that. That's not coming from God. Like, why is it that we have to sit around or walk around in life and hear something negative coming to our head? Why doesn't it just be nice and pleasant all the time? You know, I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about this with some people who have mental health issues. So let's take, for example, if someone has a mental illness and they have maybe schizophrenia. It's always something negative that's going on in their mind. Why isn't it something like nice? Why does it always have to be like somebody coming, a demon, or somebody trying to kill me, or there's a dead person over there, or whatever it is? Why isn't it like, you know, hey, listen, everybody, I'm going to buy you ice cream. Like, why does it have to be negative, right? So you think about it, it's got to be, you know, an attack going on. You know, so why are we wired in that certain fashion? And so Paul tells us, in 2 Corinthians, that we have to bring down these thoughts. We have to take a hold of these thoughts ourselves. God's not going to do it for you. You have to do it. You have to take control of these thoughts. And you know, we just read Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on thee. Well, who fixes your mind? No, you have to do it. You have to take hold of your thoughts. We always say, our mind is our mind. I remember going to class, and Keith Moore used to tell us all the time, everybody stand up, tell yourself this, my mind is my mind. Everybody said it, say, my mind is my mind. Say it with just feeling. Say, my mind is my mind. See, once you begin to do that, something happens to you. And then you can decide that you'll not be fearful anymore. That's the decision you make. He said, I will not be afraid. I made that decision a number of years ago. I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I'm not going to be afraid of not lacking something or losing staff. I know, like, you could, as a pastor, you'd be afraid of a lot of things. Money's not coming in. Besides your own home. About your staff fighting with each other, you fighting with your staff, or whatever it is, you know, you're fighting that, you're not popular. You know, as a minister, you might say something wrong. Because, you know, I have more reason, let's say in the natural, to be afraid of something because I stand up here. I'm on television. People hear that. And I can go home every night and be worried about what did I say. So that's something that I had to get over pretty quick. Because if you thrust out forward, you can make a lot of mistakes. And today, when you make a mistake, everybody's going to jump on you. You better not be saying things about something controversial, and then you'll get into trouble. So what we feed our minds on and focus our minds on regularly will eventually produce feelings of negativity or despair or something that's destructive. So your mind has to be fed, and you have to fix your mind on things that's going to be positive. If you're going to live worry-free, you're going to have to do something about it. That's why Romans chapter 12 talks about, you know, that we have to renew our mind. So no one's going to make an appointment with you and say, hey, tomorrow I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to renew your mind for you. You can order five Christians, come over your house. Okay, guys, can you come over to my house, rake my backyard, and then renew my mind for me? You can't go to a shop and get them to, you know, curl your hair and cut your hair and say, hey, by the way, I need some renewing the mind too. Can you do that for me, please? Ask your barber next time or your hairstylist, say, hey, I know you're fixing my hair, but can you renew my mind? You know, so, Brother Hagin used to tell us, you know, renewing your mind, having a good attitude is something like combing your hair every day. You have to comb your hair. By the way, I just cut my hair today. Yeah, somebody special cut my hair. So your wife? No, not my wife, because she's just been chopping and chopping and chopping. You know, they said, "Who cut your hair?" So I see. We need haircuts around here. Praise God. I did bring my scissors. So notice this in 1 Peter 1:3. The Apostle Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Hello? Gird up the loins of your mind. You know? I was leaving here today. I started singing a song that I heard when I was a kid. Come by ye, my Lord. Come by ye. Come by ye. I guess that's how it goes. Come by here, Lord. But you sing it like, come by ye, Lord. Come by ye. We want the Lord to come by here. Or we ask the Lord to, Lord, please come to the service. No, he's always with you. You're in him. We don't have to sing songs like that. You're in God. God's already in you. Holy Ghost, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they're all living inside you. By the Holy Spirit, right? You don't have to sing, come by ye. That's something that used to be my favorite song. I'd be crying away, oh Lord. Think you're getting blessed. Just getting all emotional, like for no reason at all. Singing unbelief. Sing that song one more time. Sing that chorus one more time. Well, no wonder you're worried. The Lord's not even there. You have to sink him down for a little bit to have his manifestation. I think about this, and the Lord began to say this to me. Like, it's up to you. People always think, we get in the Spirit. You could get in the Spirit anytime you want to. You can get in the Spirit anytime you want to. The Bible tells us so, right? Get in the Spirit. So there's some people for 50 years, they've been trying to get in the Spirit for a long, long time. But they're always been in it. But they don't know any better that they're in the Spirit. The Bible says, as soon as you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're in the Spirit. I don't know what they expect, to get rubbery or something, or you feel something. You know, so the Holy Ghost is here. He's everywhere. He's all over in this place. Amen. The same Holy Ghost, when you get home, he'll be there. And he's already been here. Praise God, he's waiting for you in the car. Huh? Some people say, well, there's, you know, I was happy, but when I left church, I don't know what happened between there and here. I think maybe I've been attacked. I remember I was went to one church here in Thunder Bay. I was just visiting churches. And there was a big worship service going on. I guess it was a worship service. And the pastor got up and said, hey, wait a minute, we're on it. I just feel the enemy is attacking people right here, right now. And we're going to pray really hard to get this out. Well, nowhere in the world, Jesus never told his disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem and Samaria and all these places, and I want you to take down the devils over that area. Paul never asked for prayers to take over cities spiritually and get rid of all the devils. I mean, if that was the case, we could do it. We'd just have a great time, right? Get rid of all the devils, and you don't have to deal with them anymore. But you know, as long as you live in this world, conversely speaking, that you're not going to ever get rid of fighting thoughts that adversely affect your mind. Fears and worries. That's not going to happen. I remember someone told Brother Hagin, pray for me that I'll never have this kind of situation happen to me again, like fear and worry. I'll never pray that I'll never have to deal with the devil again. And he looked at him. Brother Hagin did look at that person and said, you know what? What do you mean? You want me to pray that you die? No. He said, that's the only way you'll never have to deal with the devil. If you die, go to heaven. But so we have to deal with that. So as long as you're going to be afraid of the devil, and as long as afraid that he might hear you, might see you, like you got to be sure that you're going to look at him in the eye and tell him you're not going to win. Like right now, there's people in this room right now, 100%, that the devil told you this is the last time, you're not going to make it ever again. There's no way you could ever come out of the situation that you're in. You've had this for too long. You struggled this all your life. Ever since you were a kid, you've had this problem. And the devil's lied all the way through. The devil's a liar. And he tells you, you cannot ever get out of a situation. And we have to take that thought and say, hey, listen, this is not right. And come against the devil and come against the thoughts that he's put. It says here, as well as a lot of other scripture we just gave you, Isaiah 26:3, that you fix your thoughts. You fix your thoughts on Lord, whose mind is fixed on thee. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, we want the perfect peace, but we don't fix our mind the way what God wants it to. Fix it on the Word of God. So that's the practical end of it. Casting down imagination. Who's going to cast it down? You are going to cast it down. You're going to start training yourself, renewing your mind to cast. Oh, that's not God's thought, so I'm going to, hey, let that one go. I'm casting that out. I don't want that thought. I'm not having that thought. I'm not thinking that way. So that's something that you do. You talk to yourself about it. You coach yourself and say, nope, that's wrong. You tell yourself that. Talk to yourself. Don't just think it. Talk to yourself. You have to train yourself to talk to yourself in that way. Tell yourself, you're not going to think this way anymore. So Isaiah 26:3 says, you fix your mind on God. You know? 2 Corinthians 10, in 10:5, I believe it is, casting down imagination. You cast down the imagination. God's not going to do it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that you renew your mind. That's your responsibility. That's how, if anything's going to be done, you're going to have to do it. Don't go to your barber and say, okay, renew my mind. No one's going to do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And then here, 1 Peter 1:3 says, Apostle Peter says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now the word loins means it gives us that meaning of reproductivity. So whatever your mind thinks about, whatever you put in your mind, you're going to produce that. Brother, you were talking about that earlier, about people are having what they've been saying. So just start speaking right. Now I know this is, people make fun of us in this area, but that's how it is. We have to face our fear. The Bible tells us that when things go wrong, and tells us historically, biblically, our ancestors, when they got into trouble, the apostle Paul said this about the people. Now watch this. He said this, Philippians 1:28 says, "Don't be intimidated any way by your enemies." So you have more than one enemy, and there's not your next door neighbor. I just think my neighbor was my enemy. I was mad at him every time. He's constantly moving cars, constantly all day long in front of my car. Why doesn't he use his own yard? And I got fixed on that. Why doesn't he have what's wrong with this guy? He doesn't own the city of Thunder Bay. Why? What's he doing here? He's got all these cars. He's got five cars there. I want to call the city of Thunder Bay right now. I want to have him removed. I'm going to, fighting with it. It's not, I'm thinking about this. I'm sure some of you are doing the same thing. The devil started getting me fighting with myself. I'm telling my wife, okay, look at him. He's moving those cars again. He just moved that car. It's the same car. Now he's putting it right in front of my house. I'm calling the police. And one time I did call, and I remember the first time, they said, okay, has he moved his car any 24 hours? Yes, he has been. Constantly moving cars. Drive me crazy. And I was crazy. Okay. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. The Old Testament was recorded as an example to us. We read the Old Testament for an example. And for us to follow their whatever they're doing to either adapt to situations or avoid certain situations that we can avoid trouble. Romans 15:7 says, "And such were written in the scriptures long time ago to teach us, and the scriptures gives us hope and encouragement. We wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled." In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 to 4, the scripture admonishes us, when we're facing enemies that appear greater than your own abilities, you are not to be afraid or worry about them, because that same God who saved you, made you a new person in Christ, that same God will assist you like he assisted them in their battles. Here's another thing the devil tells people in their mind. This is way bigger than you. You can't get out. There's no way in the world that Montreal is going to beat the Vegas. He said, there's no way the Leafs will ever come back in this century. Now, come on, people. I mean, this is real stuff people have fighting with. They fight on their Facebook with. And they cry and get mad at each other. And just, you should see the fights going on. Like it's real. And can't sleep. And they can't wait till the next game comes, because they have to see the outcome, what's going to happen next. And they get mad at each other. And this is real facts. Pastor Ken, I'm glad you're not a hockey guy. We'd probably kill each other. So Deuteronomy 20, chapter 20, verse 1 to 4 says, "When you go out to fight your enemies and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. What don't you understand about do not be afraid? The Lord says, do not be afraid. And you're just under the covers. The Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, Well, Egypt is a type of Satan in his world and his kingdom. He's with you. Do not be afraid as you go to fight your enemies today. In other words, so when you're in the heat of the battle in this spiritual fight and he's attacking your mind that this is never going to, you know, you're never going to come out of this alive, or you're going to lose your shoes, whatever, you're going to lose. You cannot ever win. He's telling you, you cannot win. But then you go wrong, you don't say anything, you don't fight back. You pretend he's not there, or you think it's your own mind thinking this. So this is where we have the trouble with for Christians. They have this thought, they think it's just them. And it's going to go away somehow, one day it's going to go away. But it's not until you do something with the fixing and the capturing of these thoughts. And that's the mechanical area. And I heard Brother Higgins say this. This is something that you're not going to overcome overnight. This is something that's going to happen automatically because you're born again. It's not going to happen because you've been 10 or 20 years in the Christian world. I've been a Christian for 25 years. No, it's not going to happen just because you're old. It's going to happen because you did something. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ told Jairus when his daughter was just about dying and on her last leg, so to speak, and Jesus said, "Do not worry." Jesus, don't you realize my daughter is dying? He said, "Don't worry. Don't worry." And he says this, "Only believe." What does the word believe mean? It means you're gonna do something. You're going to start acting like it. So what's going to happen? They tell Brother Hagin over there. Remember, they said, I trained you every time. So Brother Hagin taught us in school. He looked at us. He said, every time you have a trouble, any kind of trouble you have, I want you to understand this. Ask yourself, what does the Bible say? And then act like it's so. What does the Bible say? And act like it's so. Act like it's real to you. Start telling yourself. Talk to yourself about it. Come on. And then once you start talking about it, all of a sudden you just get really strong. Okay, where? Right? You know how it is, with all your brothers are with you and you're fighting on the ground. Come on, come on. Then you have to walk home because you stayed late one day and all your enemies, your boys, are there waiting for you. They said, now you're acting tough, eh? You have to be able to be strong. I realize that we have a great time in church and the Word of God is just as real after the service when you get home with your thoughts in the middle of the night and the devil tells you, I'm killing you. Right? Then you say, you are? You say, yeah, I'm killing. In fact, it's starting right now. It's happening right now. And I'm also killing all your kids. Really? You say, is that right? Yeah. And you're going to lose all your toes. I know you thought that, I want all my toes. That's really silly. Well, that's true. Some people like their toes more than others. That's true. You don't want to lose your toes. It's hard to walk around like that. It's a stump. We need to learn to cast our cares on the Lord. And here's something we say about things. A lot of people say it, and Christians say it, and some ministers say that God is in control, guys. Okay, everybody, God's in control. I'm putting it on my status right now. God is in control. Oh, yeah? He's not in control over every situation that's going on. He's not, unless you put him in control over your situation. Nothing's going to be bound in your life unless you start binding some devils and say, no. I know you were here last year. The same answer is no, as it was last time. And you have to talk that way. The Bible says ask. It doesn't happen if you just think about it. He said ask. You have to talk to somebody. Ask God. Talk to Him. And we all do this now. We got this from Brother Moore, Keith Moore. I asked my wife, what are we excited about? She tells me. And it's not ice cream. Yeah, we always talk about something that's happening in our lives. Say, honey, what are we excited about? And she reminds me again what I'm supposed to be. She's my partner. And when I get down, she pulls me up. I tell her, I'm through preaching. I'm not going to preach anymore. The devil told me I shouldn't be preaching. There, listen to me. Okay, devil, I won't do it anymore. Until tonight. So we're gonna, you know, we have to teach on the practical side of how to do this, because people don't realize that it's so important for them to do some talking. Start talking to yourself. Come on, start talking to yourself. Tell yourself, be your best cheerleader. Say, no, I don't believe it. I learned that from watching Les Brown on, what is it? Be your best self. Well, he's got all these things, but he's a Christian, and he got it where he got it from, this teaching. You know, one fellow used to tell us, don't never face your giant with your mouth closed. Right? Never face your giant with your mouth closed. David opened his mouth and he faced his giant. He said, I'm going to cut your head off. So I'm coming out of this alive. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand up. I went 4 minutes over. I think I started at 20 after, 25 after. Pastor King prophesied half an hour. And so praise God. Amen? We are going to have the greatest time ever. Amen? We are going to just enjoy ourselves, enjoy our lives, and, no matter what, we're going to have a great time. Lord, we want to thank you right now. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
I cast all my cares. I don't have a care in the world. I don't carry any burden. I pull on every negative thought. I speak against it. I talk against it. I do not carry bad thoughts. Negative thoughts. I don't worry about how I feel. I don't live how I feel. I tell myself how to feel. You say, how do you feel? I feel good, wonderful. I feel beautiful. Tell yourself, I'm strong. Say, in fact, I'm getting stronger right now. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And I just stomp devils out. Come on. Yeah, they don't come around me because they know that I have the word in my mouth. Thank you, Jesus. I cover everything with the blood. All my life, all my children, everything about me, all about my church. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.